head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
This is the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm your host, Rick Redding, here, as always, bringing you the most interesting people in the Ville. I basically go out and talk to people that I find interesting, and a lot of people help me find guests. And if you're one of those people, thank you. And if you'd like to be one of those people, you can get in touch with me through my Facebook page, Rick Redding, or at LouisvilleKY.com, eDrinkTalk.net, and RustySatelliteShow.com. Those are all the projects that I'm involved in as an owner slash manager, and I'm very proud of those. And I'm proud of the list of people who have been on this show in the 274 weeks that we've done this thing. This week is no exception. I have a couple of great, interesting guests. I think you're really going to want to listen to these conversations. I just really enjoyed getting to meet these two individuals and talking with them. In the second part of the show, I'm going to have Mark Prussian, who you may have heard about my recent LASIK procedure at the Eye Care Institute. Mark is the president, CEO over there, and has written a book along with my eye doctor, my LASIK doctor, Dr. John Meyer, about the ins and outs, what to do, what not to do if you're considering any sort of procedure with your eyes. It's very cool. And it is, surprisingly, it's become a bestseller, if you can believe it, on Amazon, even though you can go into the Eye Care Institute and become a patient, and you get one for free, like I did. The book's called One Eye or Two. You can look it up on Amazon. But Mark is standing by, and we'll have that interview in just a little bit. Before we get to my first guest, I want to thank my sponsors, who are Passport Health Plan, which has something to do with my first guest. So I'll mention that in just a moment. And also my friends at Heiser Health, who have gotten me into great shape somehow. I tell you, I really feel good. I'm continuing. I've sort of leveled out on my weight loss, but I went to Peggy 2 weeks ago and got all my numbers, and everything is good. I'm healthy. I feel good. All that stuff is happening. You should think about going over there to Heiser Health. I work out 3 times a week there at the Melwood Art Center, and they got great people running the classes, and if you follow Peggy's advice, you too could lose a lot of weight and look and feel better. All right. Passport Health Plan is the reason I ran into my first guest, Anthony Smith. He is quite a mover and shaker in West Louisville and has accomplished a lot. Currently, he is the executive director of Cities United, an organization of 130 mayors across the country who are on a mission to reduce violence among young people in primarily black communities. Anthony has a mission to help young black men, and I found it very inspiring to talk with him. Among the projects Anthony's involved in is in Russell. There's a thing called A Place for Promise, and a $5 million grant that Anthony had something to do with getting awarded here will be used to help create wealth in Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. It's a very exciting project. You'll hear a little bit about it on the show. I'm also sort of intrigued by the project. He has some civic engagement fellowships that are just starting in October, and those are opportunities for, in Louisville 10, in Lexington 5, young black men ages 22 to 26 are going to get work for the city government and get leadership training. And they have to have some sort of criminal past, misdemeanors, no violent stuff. But these are people who, you know, you can see falling through the cracks. Anthony himself did not graduate, as I mentioned in the interview, from Eastern High School. He grew up in the Shawnee neighborhood, and but he persevered, and he had some help, and he became a successful leader in our community. And that's his is a great story, and he wants to inspire other great stories like that. So I went down to the Dollfinger building in Portland and talked to Anthony at his office as a part of my Passport Health Plan project. His story, among many others, will be available on passportwellbeing.com, the community. And it's a great resource, I think, for becoming a great resource for West Louisville. More than 50 stories are posted there. So That's what Anthony's all about. We had a good time talking, and I'm going to let you listen in on our interview right now.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is in the Dolfinger Building in West Louisville. I'm with, I don't want to embarrass you, Anthony, but one of the coolest high school dropouts I've ever met.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you went on, we were talking about you dropped out of Eastern High School, but you went on to get educated.
Yeah, I did. I went to JCTC, moved around a little bit, went to school in Baltimore at the Baltimore Community College, and then came back home and finished up my degree at Northern Kentucky.
Okay, yep. There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, good. I'm glad we...
I didn't stay there. I came out.
I'm glad you made it, because, you know, you seem like... I barely know you, but what I've known about you, an important part of your mission is helping young black men. And I would say you must look at it as people like yourself that were, I don't know how much you knew you were going to get on the right path back when you were in high school and early college years.
Yeah, so I think part of it is that, you know, when you figure out what your purpose is, and I think, you know, I tell folks all the time my purpose is to make sure young black men and boys have better outcomes. But I also think about the community that they live in. I think about their families and what it is that we're talking about. Some of it is around how do we change systems, but also how do we empower young people to find their way. And I think part of it for me is you're right. So when I dropped out of high school, I could have easily stayed there. But I had people around me and supported me to say, you can still make it, right? So how do you get your GED? How do you go to college? So I think what I'm really trying to do and what my purpose is helping people find that second, third, fourth, and fifth chance that it takes a lot of us to get to where we're supposed to be, right? So it's not a straight and narrow path. I think people want people to believe it is, but we all have bumps and bruises along the way. And I need young people to know that they can still make it, even if they have a couple of bumps and bruises along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you go about, you know, coming across the people that you help? I mean, how do you get connected to these young men?
So, I mean, there's many different ways, right? So since I've been in this work for the last 20 years, a lot of it has been directly in neighborhoods, identifying and connecting to folks directly. Some of it is people get brought to me and say, can you help so-and-so? You know, they need this, I need that. But most of it really is around relationship building, just being where young people are, being in community and understanding, and also knowing where to connect them to, right? So I can't, if I don't know the resource people, it's not good for me to be that connector. So just knowing both worlds, right? So again, knowing the people inside the system and then knowing the people in the community and figuring out how to build those bridges.
Okay. Well, I know you've got a, we're going to get to your current job, but you spend a lot of time working for the city.
Yep.
And I guess in that position, which, correct me on the title, but it's the Office of
Safe and Healthy Neighborhoods.
Tell me about some of the ways you were able to help people there.
So, you know, and it started before that, right? So I used to work, before I went into the city, I worked for an organization called the Network Center for Community Change, which was NC3. It was a non-profit organization that has since closed its doors. But when we did that work, it really was around really community organizing and engaging people in community. So I did that for 5 years before I went into the city. But when I went into the city, my job really was to help coordinate and kind of categorize and what we were doing to in the community to do violence prevention work, right? Really looking at the core root causes to violence and then what were we doing and what were some of the gaps. And a lot of that was around engaging with young people, asking them what they need and what they want. Me and the mayor would go and spend time in the local jail, talking to folks who were incarcerated, asking them what they needed and what would keep other folks from coming into this way. So really going to where the people are and making sure that you're spending time with those who you're trying to support and work with, right? So that's how I usually get connected to folks, is really going to where they are connected to somebody who knows them so that I can really understand what it is folks need and then identify what the right what the right connection is.
Well, I know that's really challenging work, and there can be a lot of a lot of bad things can happen, I guess. But I don't know. Is there an example of someone you've really helped that's gone on to be a success?
I mean, I think there's a lot of folks that you can identify, right? So there was one time I got a call from one of the counselors down at the Academy at Shawnee.
Okay.
She had a young man who was looking for a job and was really looking and was really out trying to figure out where can I go work, and could not find a job, could not get interviewed, could not get hired. And one of the things that when me and the young guy met, I was real clear that if he were to get in front of any of us, we would hire this kid, right? He was a great personality, had a great work ethic, you could just tell in him. And he really wanted to work. And he really wanted to work for a number of reasons. One, to help support the family. And two, not go down the wrong pathway, right? So he was looking for an opportunity, trying to go to work, could not find one close to where he lived. He lived in the Shawnee neighborhood. And if you think about the ideal of all of the places where he could work and how oversaturated they probably are with applications and people wanting to work. So the conversation with him was, are you open to getting on the bus, going up to Third and Market, and maybe working with folks at Spaghetti Factory? Because I used to wait tables at Spaghetti Factory. I had friends there. And I knew they would hire this guy just based on his personality, and they would keep him in the front of the house. So he said yes. I got on the bus, scheduled an interview. 2 weeks later, he's working. Right? And what I knew based on he was in the 10th grade, and up until he graduated, he stayed there. Because me and the counselor were talking. She said he was doing well and doing things. So I think it's really, really, sometimes it's just that simple. Helping people see that Louisville is actually bigger than just the neighborhood you come from, and how do we connect you there? But then, two, you see long-term benefits from folks. When I used to work at the LION program, was Louisville Youth Opportunity Network, where we work with young people 14 to 24. I get invites to weddings, young people who might have been going in the wrong pathway, who we help, you know, reconnect to school, find jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I go into some of the hospitals, people who we help get placed there are still there. So you see people's lives being different. I get invited to house blessings when some of the young people get their house through Habitat. So you get to see all of these different changes that you have a part in. It's not directly you, but you have a role playing in it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Cities United. And I've been very interested in your new program in the Russell neighborhood. You see this big headline, Russell's getting all this money, you know, and so you're in charge of, like, spending it. It's like $5 million, right? So tell me about that and what you're going to do with all this money.
Yeah, so Cities United, I'm blessed and honored to be able to be the executive director for Cities United. We're a national organization. We work with mayors all across the country. We're in about 130 cities, and our ultimate goal is helping mayors work with their communities to create comprehensive public safety plans that go beyond law enforcement, right? So we're asking mayors to think about all of the things that lead up to community violence, and how do we get ahead of that, and how do we get in front of it, and how do we not just rely on law enforcement to reduce the violence that's happening in some of our neighborhoods, right? So we do that all across the country. Louisville is one of those cities we work in. And the $5 million that you're talking about came to Russell, a place of promise. Cities United and the City of Louisville are working in partnership to do this work. Okay. So Teresa Zawaki from the city is now as executive on loan to really help us usher this in. So the money that we got is really going to be pushed through to really build out what we're calling Russell, a place of promise. And Russell, a place of promise really is how do you invest in community and people without displacement? How do you build up a community, build up the wealth of that community without displacement of the people who have always lived in the community, right? How do you get ahead of gentrification? So
and
the five.
If I just interrupt though, the challenge in Russell and maybe some other West Louisville neighborhoods is it's like there's a lot of them, but it's primarily a lack of money. It's poverty. It's lack of transportation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's lack of jobs nearby, right?
Yeah, and a lot of that stems from old policies and old disinvestment that the city has had, right? So thinking about redlining and thinking about urban renewal that came in and wiped out a lot of resources, but then also regulated people into places where they couldn't have that opportunity to grow. What we're saying now is that now that Russell has all of this investment coming in, it's way bigger than the $5 million. You got to think about the Choice neighborhood. You got to think about the YMCA, Passport. You got to think about the sports complex and the track that the Urban League is going to be building. So all of these things are happening in Russell that makes Russell more attractive to other folks who don't live in Russell, right? So our job is to say, how do we get in front of that and allow the people who live here to enjoy the home ownership and the increase in property value? How do we help the people who live here invest in businesses that then can support all of this growth, right? So that's how we're trying to think about it. So we work in partnership with Keenan Charitable Trust, and we use foundation resources to kind of like jumpstart that process and allow us to be able to do some innovative things and some risk things. Then you bring in other venture capitalists and other traditional capital to really say, how do we now move an investment, but not forget the people who live here and who have always been here.
Okay.
So Cities United and the city are really working in partnership. We're going to be really working in partnership with the community to build out what that looks like and feels like and how they help lead that work. So it's not us coming from the outside making decisions, but doing it in partnership with the folks who have already lived here.
Yeah, okay. And I understand that. And that's sort of a big picture look. What specifically can you say is going to happen? What are people going to see? I mean, I know I was at a neighborhood meeting where you talked about hiring community engagement organizers. Yep. Of some sort, and those people are going to be feet on the ground, I guess.
Yep.
What kind of thing are they going to be trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so when we think about the community engagement piece, it really is just hiring a team, to your point. But also the goal there is really they're going to serve as the connector and the navigators and really helping families. So if they knocked on your door, Rick, and you were like, they had this conversation with you and you said, I'm looking for new employment, I want to own a home, they're going to connect you to those places that can help you do that. Right now, Russell's average home income is about $14,500. The city's average is about $46,500. We want to be able to increase, we want to be able to increase people's earned income. Right, so they have more resources in their pocket, so they can take advantage of all of that. So you'll see people being connected to job opportunities that have a higher wage earning power. You'll see folks thinking about, okay, how do I start a small business? What does that look like and feel like? So those on the ground, feet on the street folks will really be connecting people to all of those opportunities. It's not like we're creating new opportunities. A lot of them that already exist. Uh-huh. Think about the Urban League. Think about Louisville Central Community Center. Think about all of these places, Kentuckiana Works, the One Stops, who are already doing this great work. We just need to make sure that the Russell families are connected to those in a way that's meaningful to them, that helps them get to where they're trying to get to, right?
Okay.
So you'll see new homeowners coming in. You'll see new businesses coming up. But you'll also see more community engagement and community events where folks can come together and build community with each other.
Okay, really. Well, that makes sense. We got just another minute left. I want to touch briefly on the 30th Street building.
Yes.
When I heard about that, I said, well, what a natural thing. There's this track and field complex coming.
Absolutely.
To 30th.
In Ali.
In Ali.
Yep.
And apparently there's a building right across the street, right?
Yeah, so there's a 200,000 square foot warehouse building.
That's
there,
big.
Right? And there's about, I think, 3 to 5 warehouses that are connected together. And one of the things we looked at, and it's the Madison Street building, is what it's on 30th and Madison. And our goal is to repurpose that building and make it a multi-use building, where on the bottom you have businesses and entrepreneurs and all of this stuff happening. The second floor you can have community-based organizations who can be in and out of there. But then on top 3 floors you can have housing like condos and apartments, and really making it a mixed-use building and a hub where a lot of good things happen for community members, where they can really get a whole lot of cool stuff happening.
Well, I've been down there, and it would be quite a transformation.
It would be nice, right?
it's a long way to go, but it's good to have goals.
Right? Absolutely. You got to have a vision.
There you go. Well, Anthony, I got to wrap this up, but thank you. It's fascinating to talk to you, and good luck on all these projects.
Same here. Thank you, Rick, for the time.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
All right, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Anthony Smith down at the Dollfinger Building in Portland. That's Gil Holland's project. There's so many great people down there. Richard Sullivan, the artist who I introduced you to on this show, is right upstairs from Anthony. And there's a bunch of other people that are interesting. They had the Portland Art Fair. I rode my bike through there on Saturday. It was really cool. And So there's something else you know that you might not know about if you hadn't listened to the Rusty Satellite Show. Again, I'm Rick Redding. I'm your host. And take this part of the show usually to talk about some things going on around town, some news stories that I'm interested in and such, because I used to be like the I was the city's first online news blogger. Started that back in 2007. Have you noticed like things that you thought you just now did are now like 10, 15, 20 years ago? I left Business First. I was talking to somebody there. I was a reporter at Business First. I left there in 1999. That's almost 20 years ago. Yet I think I run into people who still know me from that period. But anyway, so what's going on in town? You know, Friday night there's a football game. We're playing Georgia Tech. The Cards are. What a heartbreaker last Saturday. I'm a season ticket holder. I was up in the UPS flight deck with my buddies, and I left a little bit early. I left in the middle of the fourth quarter. Cards had a comfortable lead. They had the ball. It was just a matter of running out the clock. I turned to them and said, if we lose this game, guys, it's my fault. And what happens? Bobby Petrino made, I think it's got to be the biggest coaching mistake of his career. There is no way you cannot run the ball to run out the clock. Instead, he ordered up a pass by Jawan Pass. He threw it to a member of the Florida State secondary, which gave the ball back to Florida State. And in less than a minute, they drove the length of the field, scored, and won the game. So it's really the bottom of the barrel. It's we've hit bottom with Louisville football. I'm anxious to see how many people turn out on a Friday night at Cardinal Stadium this week. So we shall see. The other things going on, the St. James Court Art Fair is this weekend. If you are going to be driving around in old Louisville, you will be delayed all day Friday, all day Saturday. They let schools out for this. JCPS, they don't come out and say, we're letting school out for the St. James Art Festival, but it always coincides with some sort of professional development day or whatever. So kids are out of school, and that's another unique thing about our great city of Louisville, Kentucky. All right, so that's some of the stuff that's going on this weekend. I've noticed some things around town. A lot of people I know are fans of Brownies the Shed, and I don't know if you've seen that the restaurant closed a few months ago, and they've leveled that building over in Whittington Parkway. If you drive by there, you see an unusual sight, because I don't ever remember there not being a building there. And so there's a new project going in there. I don't know what the time schedule is on that, but they haven't built anything back up yet, but they've leveled the place. And the new Brownies of the Shed is down the street off Lynn Station Road, and I drove by there the other day, took a picture, and it is looking ready. I saw on Facebook, I think the 23rd of this month, they're going to have an opening event. So that's going to be something to see. Very popular spot for many years over there, Brownies of the Shed. So see how they do in their new location. All right, some funny political stories. All right, a few weeks ago we had Rocky Atkins on the show. He is the state minority leader. He is probably going to run for governor, and he will be running. If he does so, he'll be running in a Democratic primary against Attorney General, not Steve Beshear, Andy Beshear, who got some unwanted attention this week because he's in bed with the Morgan & Morgan guys. And I don't mean to make fun of those guys, but they advertise a lot, and they were involved in that Luke Hancock lawsuit, which was a pure publicity ploy. This week, that Luke Hancock University of Louisville lawsuit was ordered into arbitration in some way, and I don't know what's going to come of that, but when Rocky was here, he talked about the importance of everyone in the Democratic Party working to win back the House, and he says he is not focused, he's not announced anything about his run for governor, because that needs to wait until after the midterm elections. Well, obviously, Andy Beshear disagrees with that sentiment, because he held this big fundraiser, and there's all sorts of conflicts of interest involved. I'm telling you, folks, Beshear is not the guy. I didn't like his dad, I don't like him, and he's not the guy. So hopefully the Democrats will do something, and we won't have to deal with more years of Beshear. Meanwhile, the guy in the office now, Matt Bevin, this is just a funny story. I love giving Bevin some grief, because he's such he makes such bad decisions, and I really don't like his policies. But a few years ago, he had a website called BevinTransition.com, which was something that was an official government thing for people looking for jobs. Okay, well, the Courier-Journal dug up dug up this story. I don't know how they got it, but they looked up BevanTransition.com. It's no longer in the hands of Bevan or anybody in Kentucky. It is a, get this, you never hear this on the Rusty Satellite Show. It is a Japanese anime porn site. I kid you not. Type it in, BevanTransition.com, and that's what you get. I don't know what the governor thinks about that. He doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't share any of his thoughts unless it's with Terry Miner, so I guess. But anyway, that's the latest funny story about Governor Matt Bevin and his beard. Okay, now a story closer to home in our Metro Council. We have an interesting situation. I read a Joe Girth column the other day. The guy he called, in District 21, that's the area I grew up in, the South End. My house over on 212 Alger is right in the middle of District 21. For a long time, we had Dan Johnson, who Girth called the serial pants dropper, who was previously in the office. He was not a good Metro Council member, but kept getting reelected, I think, because the people in that district didn't care, and good candidates wouldn't run against him or whatever. But anyway, he finally got out, and this guy Vitalis Lanshima was placed in there when Johnson left. And in the primary, he lost the primary in May, but he still got the rest of his term. So he's collecting a salary, and he is not doing his job, folks. That's to put it mildly. He is apparently, according to Girth's story, running for an office in Nigeria. He hasn't shown up for a Metro Council meeting in months. He is just abdicating his responsibility, collecting his paycheck, and waiting for the end when next year, I believe Nicole George won that race and will be taking over that seat and maybe get some good representation for District 21, which hasn't gotten it with Johnson and hasn't gotten it with his successor either. So anyway, that's something very interesting to be aware of. Another story, and we'll move on to our next guest in a second, but I was really interested. If you talk about the changing landscape and scenery, I know over at Churchill Downs, if you lived here a while, you know it's amazing what they've done on the west side of Churchill Downs, where there used to be like a housing neighborhood, and Churchill managed to buy all those houses, and they have a big parking lot there now, and it's very visually attractive. And you might have noticed at 4th and Central recently, they tore down the old bank that was there. And that was a gathering place before the Derby, all kinds of people, things went on over there. Well, Churchill Downs bought that property and tore it down, and there's going to be some sort of infield gate entrance there next year, I guess by next year. They're going to build something and make it, easier or more visually attractive to walk into the infield from there. So that's what's going on over there. I found that out for you. How about that? So that's the big stuff I've got going. We had some more news on Eat Drink Talk. If you care to listen to the Eat Drink Talk podcast with Carolyn McLean, it's over on this very same Louisville.am network or on iTunes. I would hope that some of you out there listen to both Eat Drink Talk and the Rusty Satellite Show each week, because that's what I do, and I hope you follow me. All right, so my next guest is Mark Prussian, and as Mark's been a friend of mine for several years, and runs a great business over there at the Eye Care Institute. It's down there in Butchertown, and Mark's a big supporter of all things Butchertown as well, and he just does a lot of good for this community. And essentially, he says he never imagined himself being a author of a best-selling book on Amazon, but that is the case. One Eye or Two is the name of the book. I stopped by the Eye Care Institute the other day and talked to Mark, and here's our conversation. Okay, today I'm in one of my favorite places, the Eye Care Institute on Story Avenue in Butchertown. Mark Prussian is with me. Mark, welcome.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And
I like the fact that your shirt says, the most interesting people in the Ville, the Rusty Satellite Show. I hope I prove to be one of them, Rick.
Well, you've been on before, and deservedly so. And I just want to start out by thanking you and the Eye Care Institute for the change in my life, because I can see clearly now, I tell people.
That should be a song. I can see clearly now. Well, I too had refractive surgery this past summer, and I'm going to tell you about that too, but different than you had, Rick.
Yeah, I remember always seeing you in glasses, and now you're not. And I don't use my reading glasses anymore. So it's all this great surgery. Did Dr. Meyer do yours as well?
I had Dr. Brennan Green do my surgery, but that was different than LASIK. It was what was right for me. And that's really what my new book, One Eye or Two, Insider Secrets, to help you choose the right LASIK surgeon is all about. I'm so proud this was published at the end of May of 2018, and it became a bestseller on Amazon.
Wow.
And when you become a bestseller on Amazon, they send you a roll of stickers that you get to use forever that says Amazon bestseller, and you can put it right on the front of your book.
Yeah, there's one really cool. On this one we're looking at here.
Exactly.
Well, that's very cool. So what led you to decide to do a book?
Well, we have consistently seen so much misinformation. LASIK, in my opinion, has become to be a term that means fix my vision. And people don't often understand what the fix my vision part is. Some people have medical eye diseases like glaucoma or macular degeneration or some sort of corneal disease, and they think that LASIK will work for that too. But really, LASIK is a way to get away from glasses or contact lenses. So in my book, I talk about what LASIK is and isn't, and I also talk about how you can choose the right LASIK surgeon.
Okay. And so, let's get to that. How do you choose? Because, there is a lot of advertising out there for LASIK. And then there's, what I knew. I came here because I knew you and I knew the reputation of Dr. Meyer. What advice do you give people? Other than you can't have everybody in the world reading this book come to you.
Of course we can't. However, the book is written for anyone in the world who is thinking about laser eye surgery. Other than the cover, the book does not promote us at the Eye Care Institute at all. The book could be read in Los Angeles or London in England and be as appropriate as it is in Louisville, Kentucky. We have something very unique going on in our own marketplace. It is only happening in 5 or 6 other cities in the United States and nowhere else. And that is the advertisement of ridiculously cheap and probably not too terribly truthful LASIK prices.
Okay.
If you go to most places, LASIK is often not even advertised, but when it is, it's advertised as quality and convenience, not as price. Here is one of 5 or 6 places where it's advertised as price. So the second half of my book, I go out to dispel what you should not look for and what you should look for in choosing the right LASIK surgeon. Mm-hmm. And in the first half, I describe what is LASIK compared to what is cataract surgery, what is glaucoma surgery, what other types of lasers. There are 6 or 7 total lasers that are used in eye surgery and ophthalmology, and what each of them does. So for me, it was a great opportunity to write down so much of what I've learned in my 29 years so far of healthcare administration.
Yeah, I read that you go out and do talks, right? You're a speaker.
I am sometimes a regular speaker within the healthcare administration community.
Okay,
I've spoken at the New Orleans Convention Center and San Diego Convention Center and so forth. So it seemed like the right thing to do. Write a book. It turned out that being an author is not something I want as a second career. It was 15 months of, frankly, me complaining to my wife a lot. Not really something I love, but it's important now that it's accomplished. I feel like I've really contributed.
It's great to get finished. And one of the questions came to my mind that I guess I thought about before my procedure, but you were just talking about it and asking, what can go wrong? What if you choose one of these really cheap LASIK doctors and you go in and what can go wrong?
Well, actually, there isn't that much. If LASIK is right for you, there really isn't that much that can go wrong. The success rate for LASIK approaches 100%.
Wow.
Some of the things that I recommend looking for is somebody who's fully truthful, and there's way too much bait and switch advertising in our marketplace. Those really low price numbers just don't hold up when you get there. But after you've had your evaluation and after your eyes have been dilated and so forth, people say, oh, I'm here already, I'll just stay here. And mm-hmm. they don't do the due diligence to find out that almost all LASIK prices are the same. It's the quality and service that you get. So not much really goes wrong. And I don't personally know any ophthalmologist who would do the wrong surgery on you just for the money.
Okay.
They're going to steer you in the right direction. For instance, earlier this year, Rick, you had LASIK, laser vision correction, the traditional LASIK that everybody thinks of the improve my vision. Mm-hmm. Well, what was right for me as a 55-year-old was not LASIK, but it also got rid of my glasses. I ended up having pre-lex, or sort of preemptive cataract surgery, and they removed the natural lenses of each of my eyes and put in lens implants, just like senior citizens get, that correct for near, for distance, and in my case, for astigmatism. So wow. Because of my prescription, OR surgery with lens implants was right for me. Okay. Your procedure was outpatient, done as a surface laser treatment of the eye, totally different. When you are a senior citizen, you're still going to have cataracts, but you'll have a whole bunch of great vision in those years in between now and then.
Right.
I will never need cataract surgery because I already had it as a 55-year-old.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I remember when I was being, for people that don't know, when you go in, you go through a series of tests to determine whether you're a candidate or not. And I remember there was like there was an age window at a certain age, you're not going to get as much use out of it.
We used to have our own self-imposed age caps on LASIK because we just decided in our industry that, well, if you're in your 50s, you're close enough to needing cataract surgery, in your 60s, or certainly by age 70, that it's not worth it. But we found we were making decisions for people based on all different circumstances in their life. For some 58-year-olds, paying a few thousand dollars and not using contact lenses for the next 6 or 7 years until they develop cataracts was a great deal.
Okay.
For other people, it was a deal that they couldn't possibly afford or didn't think they wanted to endure. So we don't really have an upper age limit on LASIK anymore. It's what's right for you at the time. I do want to talk about my book for a second. So it became an Amazon bestseller, which I've already mentioned, and I'm so proud because I've got a lifetime supply of bestseller stickers. It is available, on Amazon for the Kindle. It's available on Google Play as a download also. It is also available on hardback or in paperback. But our goal was not to sell the books. Our goal was to give them to our own patients or to people that we know who are interested so they could learn and be informed about it. We're not trying to make $1. In fact, if we ever do get a check for any of the royalties from our publisher, Bookstand Publishing, I will donate it to charity, in fact. Not really expecting to get big royalty checks. So it's available by asking for it at the Eye Care Institute.
Okay. Well, that's a great deal. I wasn't aware of that, so yeah. Well, I'm going to go ask for one.
You can have one, Rick.
Very good. Go on my bookshelf. And I was in the lobby earlier, and as always, every time I'm here, there's a giant crowd waiting. The business must be good down here.
We provide care for a lot of patients. At times, we have done a little bit of analysis based on the Louisville metro area, and we feel as though about 1 in 15 or about 1 in 16 Louisville area residents get their eye care from us. So it's a number we're very proud of.
Yeah.
And just like everybody else, we have busier days and less busy days. We try to pride ourselves on not keeping people waiting. Our average time for a complete visit from the time you enter till the time you leave is about an hour and 45 minutes, which is a lot less than some of our peers keep their people just waiting in the lobby. So we're sort of proud of that.
Well, I've seen, let me think, I've heard some of the advertisements that you've done in other venues, stuff about clinical trials and things that you do here in terms of the research and all that. Tell me about that.
So we have a very significant clinical trials program. We are currently researching a couple of drugs to treat dry eye disease. We have two surgery trials going on for antibiotics. And we recently were the main researcher on an instrument that acts sort of like the stem device some people may have seen in physical therapy that you insert into your nose, and it creates tears for those people with dry eye. So we've got a lot going on in research. We currently have 14 open clinical trials that we're participating in. So we're trying to help advance medicine, too. And our patients really like that they have the opportunity to participate in that. That's become a whole section of our medical practice that didn't even exist 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. I'm always fascinated by that. And sometimes you're looking for patients to go through those trials.
We are often looking for patients to participate. We have a section on our website where we invite people to apply for that. People do get reimbursed for their time that they're spent here. Participating in the clinical trials, and of course there's no charge for the care provided during that time. So yeah, that's an interesting aspect that most other eye practices do not offer.
Yeah, well, very cool. Well, certainly you got a happy advocate in me, and I know a lot of other people that use the Eye Care Institute.
Thank you for having me on the Rusty Satellite Show, Rick. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right, so now you know you can go over to the Eye Care Institute, pick up the new book, One Eye or Two, written by Mark Prussian and Dr. John Meyer. And as always, I'm very grateful to the folks over there who made my own LASIK procedure so smooth, so easy. I'm sitting here without glasses on, reading stuff right and left. It really makes a difference in my driving. It makes a difference in everything I do. You know, my morning routine, I don't get up and worry about my eyes being sticky and getting those contacts in and not being able to see and all that. So anyway, the Eye Care Institute, thanks. Glad to have them as a sponsor, along with Passport Health Plan and my good friends at Heiser Health. So thanks to all those people for helping make this show possible, and also to Anthony Smith down in West Louisville. He is doing some really cool, important things. I hope you can pay attention to all the things. I think he's going to be in the media a lot in the near future. He's getting some great things organized in the West End, and I'll have a story on PassportWellbeing.com about him in the very near future. All right, that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. I'm Rick Redding. And glad to be with you. This is show number 274 of the Rusty Satellite Show, and we'll be back with another one next week. I know that I have an interesting guest in the works. I believe it's going to come through somebody that's running for mayor, if you can believe it. And it's not Chris Thieneman, it's not Greg Fisher, and it's not Angela Leet, although all three of those people have been on this show before. Stay tuned for that. I'll leave you hanging there. And go out and do something fun in Louisville. It's a great, great week of weather coming up, and a lot of great activities over the weekend. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes in the buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell?